Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 Cause there is no separation, cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now, do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now, do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Oh, yes, that is the truth. And this special day, and always, that we are indeed one. And we offer that oneness to one another by being of service, by listening to those who came before us. And we get to experience and know the oneness when we give of ourselves. And so eloquently put by a great American, a great human being, a great expression of God, Goddess, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll be right back.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. This morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace. Generated by love, and you can be that servant.
Gave it back to the man and said, I believe this belongs to you.
I believe this belongs to you, who you are. Oh, my God. Thank you, Esther Nicholson, as I sit here with the television on, watching this wonderful moment, this day that will never be the same. The universe, God, through Esther Nicholson, is reminding us that your gift belongs to you. And it really is nothing until you share it. And when you share your gift, that gift gets to bless you. You get to stand in the face of fear, of struggle, of hate, and say, hey, this hate belongs to you. It's not mine. This is going to be a different show. Okay, Kelly Clarkson, I think I can turn you down. Not that I don't love you because we're one, but, you know. I got a show to do while you do your thing. Let me turn you down a little bit more. You're a little bit my chi. Esther Nicholson, to find out more about Esther and the work she's doing, esthernicholson.com. EsterNicholson.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com, and I am your host. Woo! I know once I start the show, I know it will, I've been feeling a lot this morning and it's flowing through me now, Life Coach Ade. You know, we live in a great time. Not just a great country, we are living in a great time. And this is not what is happening today. It's so beyond America. It's so beyond. It's about humanity. You know, I mean, just the idea that inauguration is on the day that we celebrate, as I said earlier, a great American, a great human being, a man who believed, who remembered why he was here and was willing to die for it. And there are many people who have different opinions about it, but for me, this was somebody who came here to inspire change, and he knows that just inspiration without action, it's just inspiration. You got to put action behind it. And sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not easy. And here we are, many years later. Barack Obama has been sworn in again for second term. Some people prayed that this would never happen. And of course, people prayed that this will happen. But this is bigger than politics. This is bigger than the human isms. This is bigger than our judgment, our criticism, our own pain, our own fear. This is God expressing itself right in front of us. And sometimes we wait for a miracle to happen, and we think a miracle is something that, you know, you just can't explain. Sometimes a miracle is happening right in front of you and you miss it. Wake up, people. Wake up. The time is now. The time is now, and it's time to bring on Celeste for the quick announcements. And Gerald Rivers is going to be joining us, who brings alive the voice of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And, gosh, and this show, this segment is brought to you by Kleenex. No, they're in paying attention. If they had any sense, they would have sponsored the show. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
It is brought by Kleenex. It is. We need some tissue. Dang,
oh,
you're so on
God.
Point. I mean, come on. I was getting all caught up, but let me get to the announcement. She got a party on the phone lines. Hello, people. Hello, Life Coach today. I'm so honored to be here with you today. There is no other place I'd rather be, and I could be downtown with all my family, but I wanted to share it energetically with Life Conversations Radio Network on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. You feel me?
Yes, I do. I do. Because I was thinking this morning, like, yeah, you could have been giving us a report from there, but, you know, because I was thinking, the show today. I'm crazy, but you know, we all got to be part of it. We all got to do what we got to do.
Absolutely. So I'm chilling with my family, everybody on the phone lines, everybody in the chat room. My name is Celeste Morgan. I'm here to welcome you to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find Life Coach Today right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss them live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and our guests can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. If you can't call in, post your questions on Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or you can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of January is Release Your Inner Splendor, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Get ready to wake up laughing with Steve Behrman, internationally known author, humorist, and workshop leader who has written and performed as Swami Beyond Ananda, the cosmic comic. You do not want to miss this show. We also have wonderful shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network, starting with Thursday, Ambassa Safera, The Play Experience, Ancestral Blueprints, the last Wednesday of the month with Life Coach Today and Lisa Iverson, and Don't Miss Me, The Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu. You will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for your financial blessings. Now that wraps up your quick announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you.
Today, may I say one more thing?
Don't worry, you're part of this show today. Cause you're
I know, right? Okay, but what I want to say is for the other shows, please go to lifeconversationsradio.com. I went through them quickly, but the Life Conversations Radio Network has powerful shows on top of the head show, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. So I didn't want to not let you know where you can go back and find out more about all the other family on the network.
Yes,
back
yes,
to you, Life Coach Today.
Thank you. I'm going to put you on mute just for a minute because I'm coming back to you because this is a different show. I can't even. It's like something is happening and I'm just surrendering. And a part of me is like, okay, what's about to happen? Gerald is in the house and okay. We're going to bring the voice and we're going to talk. I don't know. I'm just going to let this moment unfold. And so I'll come back to you in a few minutes. We'll come back a few minutes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. Welcome, Zoe, Teresa. Welcome. Tam Tam is in the house. Quite a few people on the phone lines. Gerald is in the house. Got familiar numbers I don't know. Donna is in the house. Thank you. I am just so full. I'm just emotional. I'm emotional. It's just that watching and experiencing the evolution of humanity and what is happening through in each and every one of us. Today we are honoring Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and we have Gerald Rivers, or Gerald C. Rivers. That makes a difference when you're Googling him. And his website address is that, Gerald C. Rivers. And an amazing brother. He's been on Life Conversations Radio before, and he brings the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King, just brings it alive. And I don't know what he's feeling, but we're going to dance together. I have some questions here, but we'll just let it unfold. We'll just let it happen. And so let's do this first. I'm feeling something. The number is 347-426-3346. I'm inviting you, if you have questions or not, if you just want to share what you're feeling today, and I don't care what party you belong to, because it's so beyond that. You know, this moment, everybody leaves that behind and celebrate America, but we are celebrating humanity. We are celebrating ourselves. Whatever's coming up for you, and even if you feel like, I don't feel nothing, I don't feel connected, I live in a different country. Well, by the time I finish with you, you feel something. But anyway, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And I want to explore the conversation of freedom as well today. What does freedom mean to you? When do you know that you are free? When do you know that you are there? What does it look like? What does it smell like? We're all seeking, wanting to be free. What does that really look like? We'll talk more about that. And the number is 347-426-3346 if you want to be part of this conversation that's unfolding in a space of surrender, of gratitude. And I think I want to play a song. That's what it is. And I don't know what song I'm going to play, but what is it? Spirit, tell me. And I'm going to find a song, we're going to play the song, and then, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring Celeste, because I don't want to ramble. So, Celeste, I hope you're ready. You were sharing something with me, Celeste. Are you there? Are you available? Are you ready? She's not. Okay. She is. Celeste?
Yes.
There you are. You're busy. I thought you were busy, but that's fine. You can't see chat room, and we're going to work it all out. All is well. You know, there's a lot of work that go on behind the scenes, and, you know, we celebrate President Barack Obama, we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., we celebrate people who are doing amazing work, but there's usually something else going on behind the scenes that we don't always see. Sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes it's painful. But you can handle it. So you were sharing something with me earlier when you were... Okay, cool. When you were watching the inauguration, can you share that with the rest of our listeners? Put you on the spot. Yes.
Okay. So, Merle, you know, I was born in 1970, I'm stepping out real quick. I was born in 1970, so the civil rights piece was really big in my childhood, elementary schools, and education program. And when I saw Medgar Evers' wife, and I knew who Medgar Evers was, that he was assassinated, and his name was always important to me because that's one of the reasons why I vote faithfully. And when I saw his wife, she was the first woman to deliver the invocation. I never knew that. It just blew my mind that with all the presidents that had been inaugurated, that a woman was doing an invocation and she wasn't a part of the clergy. It made my heart chakra expand so much that I just started to flood tears. I mean, it just moved me to see her, to feel her, and to sense that her husband, who died fighting for our rights to be able to vote and express ourselves, was possibly looking down from heaven, just going, there's my baby, and she's still staying in the work. And that's the type of stuff that moves me around the energy of the day, of the people that show up and do their thing, and their story makes them worthy to give their testimony, whether they have a license or not. So anyway, don't get me started.
No, that's not it. And I love how she ended prayer. I'm paraphrasing it. She said something to the effect of, in the name of Jesus Christ and all the holy ones. I mean, it's like we're so much more than just Christianity, this country, this world, and we got to honor our teachers wherever they come from. And, I love how the show's unfolding. I got a song queued up because it just came to me while you were talking, and I was like, yes, this is going to be Gerald's theme song, if it's not already, because I remember when I have experienced Gerald through Agape. Well, that's the first time I saw him, really, through Agape International Spiritual Center. And when I saw this brother bring Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. alive, I was like, oh, my God, who is this guy? I mean, he channels him. And Beyonce is getting ready to sing. Y'all focus. I should have told you that.
Okay, now. I got stuff to do in the background today, life coach today.
Okay, you can go do your stuff while I just tell people this stuff. Do your thing. But, last time Gerald was here, we played his song. And this is a song that we sang. Well, I didn't, but the choir at my church, Hillside Chapel and True Center. They sang when Gerald was there. And when I hear this song, I think of him, and he's somebody who's definitely just saying, here I am, use me. So I'm going to play this song, and after the song, we're going to bring my brother on. This is William McDowell, I Give My Life Away. Because it's not yours, really.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you. Can you see? I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
I give myself away. And when you do, you certainly give your life away too. Yes, I give myself away. William McDowell. His website address is williammcdowellmusic.com. And his last name is spelled McDowell. WilliamMcDowellMusic.com. I give myself away. What do you have to give? What do you have to offer? What would be your legacy? Will you be celebrated when you're gone? Or would they say, I am so glad that so-and-so is gone? Well, the great thing about when people make their transition is, for the most part, people don't criticize you. They talk good about you. They say, he wasn't an angel, but, you know, he tried his best. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We're getting ready to bring on Gerald and to start this conversation. And, yeah, if you want to join in with I don't know, all the way, and just spirit saying, just show up. Just show up. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Let me read a little about Gerald, and you know, go to his website. It's Gerald C, initial C, Rivers.com, and you can find out much more about him. That man is busy. He said yes to life, the sacred yes. And yeah, okay, all is well. Gerald C. Rivers grew up in Compton, California. He studied extensively in the theatrical arts. In 2010, Gerald portrayed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in several Los Angeles theater productions and received critical acclaim for his performance in Morris Kitchen's Voices, A Legacy to Remember, and the Theatricums, never heard that one before, Carry It On, there you go, I got it out, Mr. Rivers has dedicated his life's work to keeping alive the spirit and the inspiration of the late, great Dr. King through the awe-inspiring renditions. He has committed to memory verbatim over 20 of Dr. King's speeches in their entirety. However, one of Gerald's unique gifts is his ability to combine several of these speeches, which flow seamlessly together to support a specific theme. As a result of years of study, Gerald was inspired to create a one-man show called What Do You Dream Of? Gerald's intends to take his show all over the world, and he's doing it. He's inspiring people and asking you, what do you dream of? Now, we've got Gerald in the house where he's on the line, but we can't seem to hear him. Let me go back to Celeste and find out what's going on, and we'll try again. Hey, Celeste, what's going on? It's just it's one of those days, isn't it? There's so much energy raining down on the planet.
There's a lot of energy. I can finally see everything. Yeah, I see that we have the right number, but I can't hear him. And I don't know if he can hear me, so I'm making some calls in the background. But why don't you try, and maybe you'll do a magic trick, magician.
Well, let's see. Let's just click the button and see what happens. People are waiting
for me.
Click the button. Gerald, are you there? We see you.
I'm here. Are you there?
I am there, and fear not. Gerald C. Rivers is in the house.
I am indeed, literally, in the house.
I know that is right. I just read a little bit about you, and I'm just so grateful to have you join us. And welcome home, welcome back. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for who you are. And I don't know if you heard, but for me, it's like this today's just taken a whole different, my show anyway. I'm just surrendering to the moment. I have things I want to ask you, but I just let us dance together and bring Celeste in. But I got to ask you this question first. I read a little bit about you from your bio, and there's so much more. But I must ask you this question. Who are you? Who is Gerald C. Rivers?
Oh, man, that is a great question. First, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. It's really an honor and a pleasure and a privilege. And the idea that, you know, this day and age that we live in, that we can do these kinds of things from 3,000 miles away, it's just a testament to the brilliance and the genius of an enduring spirit and intellectual evolution. I'm really, really grateful to be here. And today's a really incredible day for me, too. For many years on the King holiday, I would spend that time alone. You know, as a child, and I won't go on too long, and I'll answer your question, but as a child, my mom would write us a note before it was an actual national holiday, and she would literally say, my child was not in school today because today we are honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And today it is just profound. I was watching the inauguration, of course, and the idea of what's going on there and with that on this day, again, I think is no accident. It's all in divine and profound order. And so I'm just filled with gratitude and with pride. And that's not something that's not a particular feeling tone that I experience a great deal. It's a lot of humility around the work that I do. But the pride is not for me. It's for this country. It's for my people. It's for humankind. It's like, man, have we come a long way, and we still have a long way to go. Like the old Christians used to say, you know, I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Mm-hmm. I may not be where I want to be, but I've come a long way. But in terms of who am I, what a brilliant question. I am a child of the living God. I am a living emanation of the Most High. I am a divine created being by a supreme creative intelligence who saw to it that I would have an opportunity to walk the planet at this time in human history. I listen to the bios sometimes that my assistant Samantha writes for me. And, of course, I was in the parade and I was in various events yesterday and at Agape for all three services. And Dr. King said it best. I heard him say, as I listened to that eloquent and generous introduction and then thought about myself, I wondered who they were talking about. Because my life, it's really not my life. It's the life of God, and I'm just grateful to get to walk in it and to see through it and to have my beingness in it. You know, I grew up in Compton, California, during the 70s and 80s, and it was during the time and the introduction of crack cocaine and automatic weapons. So I'm a child of the drive-by shootings era. That was part of our unfortunate legacy, if you will. That's what I came up with. And then, you know, due to a series of divine interventions, I found my way to the teachings of Martin Luther King Jr., and it has literally transformed my life from being, you know, a crip on the streets of Compton to being a man of God and a man of peace who has gone so far beyond the limitations of the 7 miles wide and 5 miles long of what we call the hub city or the CPT on the West Coast, and has taken me all over the world. And I've not only gone outside of Compton and outside of L.A. and outside of California, but outside of the United States of America to be able to share this wonderful message. And so in terms of who I am, the truth is, please be patient with me because God is not through with me yet. So I haven't gotten a chance to meet the truer essence of my highest self. I've only gotten glimpses of that person. Who I am now is merely a collection of experiences and coagulated thought forms that have brought me to this point in my own evolution. And I'm standing here in the now, and with splendor and with wonder, looking at a brilliant future, but more importantly, enjoying this moment right now. This moment with the inauguration, this moment with Martin Luther King, this moment in my own personal life with a series of wonderful events that are taking place that were beyond my wildest imaginings. So all I can tell you is what I've done and what I've experienced to this point, but the truth of who I am, that's God's business, and He's revealing more and more of that to me every day as I remain obedient and vigilant and suit up and show up to do the work. And I'm grateful to be able to do it. You know, I could tell you I went to school at Morehouse. I could tell you I have two children. I could tell you that I live in La Cañada, but those things don't truly define who I am. They only represent where I've been and what I've done. Who I am is a child of God standing in the eternal now with gratitude and thanksgiving for this moment.
And I'm loving every part of your beingness and how you express, and I'm so grateful and honored to have you today. I remember when I told my co-producer Celeste, like, let's get Gerald Rivers, and said, let's get him, because, you know, he'll be busy on that day now. Let's get him. This is a time where everybody wants to come. And the invitation went out, and I was just bracing myself, because I'm thinking, you may not be available. When I got that you were available, I'm like, yes. And,
it's all in divine order. This has absolutely been an incredibly busy time. I mean, this is January, 20-something, and I have already been on the road quite a bit this month and have done dozens of gigs in the Los Angeles area already, and will be hitting the road some more. It was kind of interesting about today because we have what we call the Kingdom Day Parade in Los Angeles, and I was in that parade, but ordinarily that parade would have been today. And I get a celebrity car, and I literally just ride the parade route with a microphone or a bullhorn and speak the words of Dr. King to people who are standing on both sides of the street lining MLK Boulevard in Los Angeles. But they moved the parade to Saturday in honor of the inauguration today. And many of the dignitaries and celebrities who would have been involved in that parade in Los Angeles would be in D.C. today. So as a result, they held that parade on Saturday. So that opened a little window, if you will. And when I'm done with you, I'm going to head over to the California African American Museum, where they have a celebration that I've been involved with for several years called Cake for King. So one of the ladies who used to baked the kind of cake that Martin Luther King really loved when he came to Los Angeles. For many years, she continued baking that cake for his birthday every year. So now they use that recipe and bake a huge cake and feed as many people with sweet king cake as will come to the museum until the cake runs out. And what ordinarily would happen is people would be on the parade route, and the California American Museum is near the end of the parade route, so people would enjoy the parade, and on their way home, they would stop at the museum, take in the exhibits, take in the images and speeches and words of Dr. King, and have a slice of cake. I'm honored this year that my son, who is an artist and a painter in his own right, will be there with me, painting in real time images of Dr. King that they will then auction off, so people who are at the birthday party have the opportunity to take home an original painting of Zac Brown's that was painted right there in front of them in a matter of minutes. So part of what will happen is when I get up to speak, he will begin painting, and by the time I'm done with the I Have a Dream speech, an image will have appeared of Dr. King in real time. And our hope is when people take that image home that they remember where they were and what they were doing when they received that particular painting. And so he and I have done our own little Johnny Appleseed work in that we've gone to schools and prisons and corporations and various places where when we do this work, we leave that image with them to help them remember the day. It's not just about the image, but about the idea of a leader like King, whose spirit absolutely lives on. And I know I'm going on a bit. I have to tell you, a few years ago, when I was in the parade, I remember when Stevie Wonder and Coretta Scott King were in Los Angeles trying to get this parade and this holiday to be recognized nationally. And the parade took some doing, but early on when they would have this parade in Los Angeles, there wouldn't be very many people who would come out. You know, the black folks who lived in that neighborhood and Crenshaw area would all come to the parade, but there wouldn't be people who were coming from other parts of the city and the suburbs. And 2 years ago, when I was first asked to participate in the parade, I was so overwhelmed by the incredible turnouts of what must have been tens of thousands of people lining the streets of Martin Luther King Boulevard just to celebrate Martin Luther King. And the schools and the churches and the bands and the military and the police and Native Americans and Mexican Americans and Asian Americans. And it was just an incredible demonstration of what King was really about.
Yes,
I remember
yes.
at the start of that parade standing there in tears. I could hardly compose myself because there were all these pictures of King and people were playing King and thinking about King and quoting King. And you know, my life, I get to participate in the King or Kingian philosophy, if you will, on a daily basis, year-round. But to be someplace on one day and have tens of thousands of people all in joy and peace and celebration about this man's life was just, it was an overwhelming experience for me. But today you got me this morning, and as soon as we're done, I'm going to race over to the California African American Museum. It's near the Science Center, and it's near the location where the space shuttle is now parked. And
you know,
I'll do a presentation there.
Yeah, the great thing about you is you're full of wisdom, insight, and you know. You just and you don't have to apologize for just expressing yourself, because that's what this platform is for, to share how you see the world, how you see life, and no apologies needed. you know, you said something about, you know, what your mother did when you were younger. You talk about how now that you bring the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s his voice to life and how it's changed your life. And for me, my intention is that this show helps people think about who they are, why they are, and what they have to give. Now, it's been about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was releasing his inner splendor. He was standing in the face of adversity, of hate, and saying, I must do this. And I think of the people that I know in this time, they know they're here for something, they know they have a reason, they know they have a purpose, but they also have so many reasons not to do, not to show up. I'm not talking from a place of judgment, because they think it's not the right time. How do you suggest we go about delivering the gift that we brought onto this planet in the face of financial struggle, in the face of no job, in the face of just whatever negative experiences that we're going through? How do you suggest we go about that? Because it's when we do leave those gifts that we change ourselves and the planet, because that's what we're experiencing today.
I'll begin with a quote from King that simply said, the time to do right is now, and that mm-hmm. the time to do right is always right. And so mm-hmm. from a metaphysical perspective, you have a lot of people on the planet now who are waiting for the external conditions to change and to be right or right in order for them to be able to bring their gifts forward. Now, to a certain extent, they're following principle and law because we plant the seeds, and then when the conditions are right, these things get a chance to bloom. Part of the challenge is some of us, and I'll only speak for me, and I'm grateful that I have a life that is fulfilling and full of joy and peace and gratitude, we have a tendency to expect someone outside of ourselves to create the conditions that are right in order for us to bring our gifts and talents forward. And I don't think that will ever happen. I think everything that we need is already within us. The question is never raised if the answer isn't already present. And so many of us are waiting on somebody else to do it for us and waiting on somebody else to tell us that we're capable or waiting on somebody else to give us permission to do what it is that we know we've come to the planet to do. And I just want to say to anybody who's listening, right here, right now, you have permission to do what you came to the planet to do. If you need somebody to give you permission, let me and Dr. King give it to you right now. Not only do you have permission, but you have a mandate. You have a charge. You have a responsibility to bring those gifts and talents forward. And I'll tell you something. Last night I was at the home of a gentleman by the name of Lee McCloskey, who was an actor back in the day and did a big movie called Love Story. Now he's a painter and has dedicated his life and his home to providing spiritual nourishment for people. So last night at his home, we had an event we call an intimate evening with Dr. King. And so I show up in a tuxedo. We have a classical violinist, we have a vocalist, and last night we had a guy there on hang drum. And we don't have a planned program. We show up and we talk to people and we engage them and we allow them to have some insight into me and how I began this work. And more importantly, we allow that to inform what speeches are going to be done or what anecdotes are going to be told about Dr. King. I just want people to stop waiting because that's not the philosophy and that's not the example. When you think about people like King, like Gandhi, like Jesus, they weren't waiting on outside conditions to be right or right in order to begin the evolution and the change that would affect not only themselves, but everyone around them. They had a call from the inside that was encouraging them to move forward in spite of circumstances. If we're waiting on the circumstances and the conditions to change and to be right, we may be waiting for a long time. If we're willing to change from the inside and offer what we have, a couple of things I know to be true will happen. Number one, you will then draw to yourself all of the things that you need that have already been there, but you haven't been at the right vibrational frequency to be able to see it. So, for example, when you elevate your consciousness, just like when you get on your tiptoes at a parade, you then get a chance to see things that have always been there, but you didn't have the proper perspective in order to be able to take them into your purview. I gave an example recently. Here we have the Lakers. We're not doing great this year. But at the Staples Center, one year I went with my nephew to a Laker game, and we were sitting way up in the nosebleed seats, and there's still a good view from the Staples Center. My nephew gave me a really good lesson that day because he'd been given tickets because he had done well in school, but they offered him tickets in the back row of the arena. And part of me was a little like, man, we're sitting all the way in the back. There's nobody behind us. But his excitement, his exuberance, just to be able to go to the game. And that's the same lesson that we can learn. Our excitement, our exuberance, regardless of where we find ourselves sitting right now, we got to show up. We're here on the planet with divine purpose and intention. And regardless of what it looks like, we first have to be in joy. The second thing is, just because we're sitting in the back and we can't see, the commissioner's logo on the jersey or on the basketball doesn't mean that that logo is not there. Mm-hmm. It's when we get a better view, and sometimes we have to get on our tiptoes, and sometimes we have to use binoculars, and sometimes we have to get up off of our butts and get closer to the action. So many people are sitting at home, and, you know, I'm not passing judgment on them either, but they're waiting on their destiny to come knocking on their door. And the truth is their destiny is already within them, waiting to leave the confines of the home where they're currently existing. So it may not come knocking on your door. It's already inside. It's your job to open the door and get your butt out there and share it with somebody else, because I can absolutely promise and guarantee you, when you do that, the universe conspires to support your belief system. It conspires and brings all of the energies that exist in the cosmos to come together to support your good, to support your right, to support your evolution. And so I know that there are a lot of people who don't have jobs right now, and there are also a lot of people who do. And I, for example, I don't have a real job. I don't get up and go to work on somebody's job for 9 hours a day or 8 hours a day. I work for myself and I work for God, and I'm paid and compensated fairly and abundantly. That doesn't mean I have a whole lot of money, but that means that my needs are met, that my children's needs are met, and that I could, on the one hand, say, let me go get a job doing something that I hate. Let me go take a job where I'm going to be miserable, and I'm going to go in that job with resentment every day and say, I don't want this job and I don't like the people on this job. Or I could say to myself, God, what would you have me do? You are my divine employer. You're the one I work for. These other folks are just other people who happen to work for you, and I'm prepared to skip past middle management and go straight to the top and say, what would you, as the divine president of my life, have me to do? What responsibility would you have me take on? And I just know that when we do that, we get a life more abundant than the one that we can imagine. And sometimes our imagination is extremely limited. What happens is our imagination is based on what we've experienced, what we've seen, or what somebody has told us is possible. Now, the truth is there are things that are possible beyond what we've seen, beyond what we've experienced, and beyond what somebody has told us. When we open ourselves up to the possibility of that, sometimes we can look past all the stuff that's here, because we become so focused, I want to do this. And that may be what you want to do, but that may not be God's intention for your life. And change is not painful. Resistance to change is painful. Because if you're willing to grow, then it feels good. It's like going to the gym and you're working out, and sometimes it hurts a little bit, but the truth is it hurts more psychologically when you don't go than it does physically when you do. And King put it this way, I think it's better to go through life with a scarred up body than a scarred up soul. And so if your soul needs are being met, and sometimes you have to wake up a little earlier, or you have to stay up a little later, or you have to stay out a little longer, then it's going to feed you in a way that the rest of your body and your life, and the body of your affairs, the body of your relationships, the body of your finances will once again come in to conspire on your behalf. Often we think about there's a conspiracy for us to be defeated, and sometimes we as African Americans, we will spend time exploring the conspiracy that is out there to defeat us. Now, I'm not denying that there's one out there, but I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in the conspiracy that exists in a divine universe for me to excel and to do well. So I'm not giving power and credence and resonance to those quote-unquote forces that are against me. I'm spending my time, my attention, and my intention on those forces that are for me and not against me. And when I'm looking at that, I can't even see all, as the kids say, the haters. They become transparent. They become non-existent because I'm solely, and that's an important term, solely focused on my divine birthright to be a god, a goddess, a king, a queen, a divine emanation of the Most High. So when your perspective is lifted, when you're sitting on the throne of justice and peace and love and equality, then all of a sudden you're not existing in the lower vibrational frequency of fear, doubt, worry, confusion, not enoughness, lack, poverty, no jobs. Because while there are a lot of people without jobs, there are a lot of people with jobs. And sometimes mm-hmm. the biggest difference between those people are their thoughts.
You know,
so if you change your mind, you change your world. And then beauty is you get a chance to see other people around you who can live, if even for a little while, vicariously through you. I visited the prison when I was in Oregon, a youth detention facility, a couple of weeks ago. And those boys are so grateful to have somebody just come and see them, just come and sit and spend time with them. And I didn't even perform. We were thinking, well, we may perform, we may sing, dance, speak, do some king. All we did was listen. All we did was divinely listen and allow the truth to come forth rather than telling them what the truth was for them. Because, you know, here we go. Here are a group of young men who are in a particular set of circumstances, a situation where the outside appearance looks extremely limiting. It looks like it's bleak. But if they go inside and discover the truth, even I know that there are no mistakes, even in a situation like that, even when the circumstances look as they do, the universe is still providing an opportunity for the greatest potential for growth. So if you're sitting at home and you don't have a job, what that really is providing an opportunity for you to grow in a way that you may not have if you were sitting on a job every day doing something you didn't want to do. Now you get a chance to pray, to meditate, to explore. What is it that you would have me do? I could continue to sit here and do nothing and wait for somebody to knock on my door and offer me a job, or I could go within and pray for divine, inspired, right action that's going to lead me to a divine employment, a godlike employment, a soulful position that will allow me to be of benefit to the world rather than just somebody who's in a service industry in order to move goods and products in a society sometimes that's just about hoarding and acquisition. And that's not what we're here for. We're not here to get anything. And it's so much easier to forget than it is to forgive. And we didn't come here to get anything. We came here to release life energy. We came here to uncover, discover, reveal the truth of who and what we really are as divine emanations of a supreme, creative, loving intelligence. All this other stuff on top of it, they're just layers. Like when you put the gravy on the mashed potatoes, and what's underneath is the base. What's underneath is the real nourishment. But that stuff that we're putting on top to make it look good and taste good and feel better really isn't serving us as much as what's underneath. So we put on clothes, we put on a job, we put on a relationship, and we're covering the truth of who we are, and the truth of who we are is nothing less than a divine emanation of the Most High. When you see yourself from that perspective, that job becomes less important and your purpose becomes more important. It becomes your focus. And so many people are afraid to follow their purpose. They're afraid. I was a little kid, I always dreamed of doing this, but there's no way I'm going to be able to do that, and there's no way I'm going to make a living at that. Well, I live in California where it's the ultimate expression of you can do whatever you want to do. And you can have whatever you want to have. If you have a concept of a business or an idea or entertainment or social networking, or if you're into ski boots, you can find a group of people in California who will enjoy ski boots as much as you do. If you're into haircuts or mohawks or beanie caps or blue jeans, you can find a group of people out here who are absolutely in vibrational harmony and alignment with what it is that you think you desire. And sometimes we have to try. We must, even if it means we fail, so that it provides an opportunity for us to know, for some folks, what it is that we don't want. We think we want something and we pursue that and we realize that's not really what we want. But the beauty in a perfect and divine universe is in the process of saying yes to something, we're exposed to other things that we get a chance to say yes to as well. But if we're sitting at home saying, no, not for me, the world is messed up, things are in a horrible state right now, then we're putting that out into the universe, and the universe just says, you're right. It's lonely, and the world is messed up, and if that's what you're focusing on, and if that's where your attention is being placed, if that's where your intention is, then you're creating the world that you live in. I have to tell you, I'm a black man from Compton with dreadlocks who makes a living as a classically trained Shakespearean actor and the voice of Martin Luther King, and my voice is on video games and movies. Now, could I have imagined that that would have been my life when I was 8 years old? Possibly, but I didn't. I didn't even know those things were available to me. But the moment I said yes to college, the moment I said yes to Morrow, the moment I said yes to CNN the first time they asked me to do a voiceover spot, the moment I said yes to giving a guy a ride to an audition because he didn't have a car, and I'm sitting in the lobby, and the casting director comes out and says, are you a voiceover talent? Because I heard you on the phone. I said yes. I didn't say, I'm here with my friend because he just needed a ride. Without hesitation, I said yes. And he said, why don't you read for me? And I'll share this with you. I read for him that day, and he offered me a job on a video game called Street Fighter to play the character of M. Bison. Now, that was 7 years ago. Since that time, it was maybe more than that, since that time, there have been several versions of this Street Fighter video game that have come out, and I've been in all of them, and I've received national recognition and have a fan base in Australia and Germany because everybody's playing the Street Fighter game. I get an agent for my voiceover career, which at the time I didn't have one, and Disney decides to do this movie, Wreck-It Ralph. And the animators on the team that are putting the movie together said, we want to put together a collection of some of the baddest guys that we have from video game history. And they decide that M. Bison is one of those characters. And they want him in the movie, and they don't want to hire somebody or have somebody come in and audition. They say, we want the guy who we've been playing this video game with for the last 7 to 10 years. So they call my agent and say, we want him to come in. And she said, you want him to come in and read? They said, no, we want him to come in and record. So I go in, I lay the thing down, I found myself on the red carpet. That movie is now nominated for an Academy Award. Now, here's the magic in terms of people sitting around. I have a vision board in my house, and I could go in there and look at it now. And I've had to cross off about 80% of the things that I put on that board less than 2 years ago because I've lived them. I've experienced them. So if you're sitting there, if you can't do anything else, write down on the wall or on a piece of paper or on a board and put it up on the wall, this is what I think I want for my life. This is what I desire. And then you got to pray about it. You got to say, God, if this is in vibrational harmony with what you would have me do, then show me, help me, guide me, direct me, lead me, point me in the right direction. And it is just amazing that then you do get a chance to sit back and watch the universe come to your aid. Watch this divine intelligence say, thank you for doing your part. Now I will do mine.
Gosh, my brother, I just love you. I had so many thoughts being inspired as you were releasing, sharing, expressing. I mean, I thought, can you imagine maybe, I don't know, 100 years from now, you have somebody, that, you know, making their life expression, if you will, saying the voice of Gerald C. Rivers. because you shared
that's
so
funny.
Much.
That's a long way from me. But you know what? No, and I don't think King was thinking 50 years now or 100 years from now, they'll be talking about me. He was just showing up in
right.
the eternal now. That's all I'm doing,
exactly.
is showing up
exactly.
in the eternal now. And I'm really selfishly doing both what I desire and what I believe is in alignment or vibrational harmony with what God has in store for my life. And that's the part that's where the magic happens. And then you're not thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. You're thinking about right now, how can I show up? How can I be present? How can I keep saying yes to a universe that doesn't understand no anyway?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is what I want to do this, and because you're going to bring, you know, you can't show up and not let Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King show up. So you're going to bring the voice. That's just part of the contract. Well, we don't do contracts. We don't need to corn. We don't need to track any corn. But we just, it's an agreement.
don't need to track the corn
because we ain't cutting one another. But, you know, I want to ask you this and then take a break. Well, actually, I think I better take the break now. I'll take the break now. But what I want to ask you is, because you said something that I want to tie it in. I want to hear, you know, if you can tie it in with your resurrection story, you know, which you haven't talked to. Because what you're sharing is you're not just saying words that sound good. You've lived this. You talk
you're
about
here.
The game.
Absolutely.
And they're here today. So when we come back, I want to address your resurrection story as well as this thing we call a gift of talent. I was talking to a friend yesterday. And I said to her, well, she says, oh, what's going on? I was talking, and I heard myself say to her, you know, where I am right now is I am surrendering to a place and a space where I could see my own life through the eyes of God, not just based on what people are telling me. I see my life, and I say, yes, I am grateful I surrender. You know, but we kept talking, and we kept talking, and I thought, you know, do we actually get to that place? Because you talked about when you hear your bio, you know, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he never saw this. He envisioned it. But so I want to talk about how we surrender our highest intent vision for ourselves to live in the moment so that we live into the vision. But I don't think we're always going to see it because sometimes we wanted to see it. And we miss it. But we'll talk more about that. So I wanted to tie it all in with your resurrection story, being able to just surrender the future and live in it now while holding a great vision for oneself and humanity. Life is good. It's getting better. My guest is my brother, my friend, myself. It's Gerald. That's GERALD. The letter C, the initial C. I wonder what that C stands for. I think questions like that. Gerald C. Rivers, and that's his website address, GeraldCRivers.com. He's an author. He's a public speaker. He's a teacher. He's a spiritual teacher. He's so much more than those titles. And you can hear him. You can experience him. You go to his website, and we're taking your questions, 347-426-3346. We're going to do a very quick commercial. Maybe we'll do Celestial Moment after Gerald. I think that's what's going to happen. I want to bring Celeste on because I don't know. I'm just surrendering because this brother, I want to ask him about freedom, a thought I had this morning. But right now, take a breath. Take a holy breath. Live in a moment. Trust the process. That whatever you need to talk about, like Go Jaddy, with your brother, Gerald Rivers, will all unfold naturally. Transcend time. And stop worrying, because you are time. You are in the space of expression. And let's see right here. I'm looking for something. I'm buying time. That's why I keep talking. It's for those of you who have been impatient. He said he's taking a break, but he's still talking. I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I have to fill in the gap. Or would you rather me be quiet? You better not say yes. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to live your best life, and we're supporting you. And make sure you don't go a day without Life Coach Ade.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
And the best way to make a difference is...
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, you are free. Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's see. What are we doing here? Let me go back to my brother, and I guess there's stuff going on behind the scenes. So we're just technology's doing what technology does. So we'll go back here. And, Gerald, let me ask you this, because we were trying to put it together perfectly, but it's a live radio show. We couldn't do it. So I'll ask you, how long can you stay with us until Gerald? Gerald, are you there? I can't hear him. What's going on? Okay. You can stay with us until now. All right, let's try that. I'll put that on mute and then see if Celeste can work that out. I don't know why we can't hear him, because Celeste was trying to talk to him during the break. Ah, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Gerald, are you there? Let's try it again. No. Do you have your phone muted? Actually, Gerald, you know what? Because people have been having issues on the phone line. Maybe if you can hear me, why don't you hang up and call back in? Because we can't hear you. And everybody, just hold the vision. Just hold the vision. Don't go into, oh, don't do that. You have the power to change this moment. So, yes, we are talking about change. We are talking about living one's gift, making it a reality. And so much is going on. And while we're trying to sort out Gerald, I'm going to do this. See, I'm talking to Celeste. Because I don't want to talk and type, or I might end up saying what I'm typing. So, this is a thought that I was having. I don't know. We can't seem to. Oh, okay, let's see. Celeste is talking to me. Just bear. You know what? I'm going to play a song just so we get it out. But I want to talk about freedom. Let's play a song. And maybe you have something to share to fill the gap. But I'm going to find a song to play. Yeah, I just play a little bit of. This is a perfect song. A little bit of Bishop Carleton. Everything must change, even your resistance to showing up in life. Yes. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad and we'll be right back. This is Bishop Carlton Pearson. Everything must change.
No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew. When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything
change. I'm about to sing, change. But I won't. Okay, I think we got Gerald back. I want to take this call, and I think we got Gerald back, but I'm going to wait for Gerald to come back. And Tony, if that's your name, we can do this. But let me just say that I want to change the way I'm looking at your call so that you change, so we can have a sensible conversation. But I'll wait for the notice to let me know Gerald is back on. Yes, he's back on. And actually, I'm going to get Gerald to answer or speak to the question or the thought that I was having about holding a vision of yourself. And maybe you won't actually see that for yourself, but others will. It's a kind of crazy thing, but we'll talk about that. And then we'll take a call. We got a call, Rebecca. We got Tony. Tony's such a general name. What's your real name, Tony? But stand by. It's a good question. It's a good comment. It's a good thought. Let's see. I'm waiting to get my signal for Celeste so we can deal with that. And in the chat room, we have Truth Addict. You're addicted to truth? Oh, that's not a bad thing to be addicted to. To two. As long as you are not dogmatic about it. Because truth means being flexible, being simple, being joyful, being willing to grow, being willing to love, being willing to make love with the universe. Celeste, I'm waiting for the cue. Okay, Gerald is ready. So Gerald, okay, what's going on? Okay, Celeste, are we ready? She can't hear me. Let's find out this. I don't know. We just stopped, so just bear with us. Okay, here's some song. Here's some music. Everything must change. Okay, I think Gerald is ready now. Okay. Keep hope alive. I had a dream that I would hear the voice of Gerald. Gerald, are you there? Can you hear me this time? Gerald, can you hear me?
I can, but I'm trying to get you back on the other phone.
Okay, you're trying to get me back on the other phone. Okay. Okay, good. All right, so while you do that, I want you to listen. We have a caller. We must address. And so while you're doing that, you can listen, and then we'll talk about the thought that I have about seeing ourselves through the eyes of God and that deep thought that came up. So let's go here. Let's bring Faith down, Bishop Carlton. Tony, you know, I'm coming to you. Give me a break. Give me a minute. And we can work this out while Gerald works it out on the other side, too. So, Tony, we see the best in you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Okay, great. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say the professionalism of your show, the design, and the subject matter is fantastic. You guys are doing a great job. Really good job here. It's good to hear that this is actually on the air and we're not talking about superfluous nonsenses that don't have any effect in our lives. So, bravo. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Being that today is a great day, MLK, and I am a person of color. I was on watching the Oprah show, and she was talking about racism. And, you know, there's a lot of questions around racism that I think that the black and the communities that are being accused, the communities that are being persecuted, don't seem to look at. And I see this a lot. For instance, Oprah did a show, it's on right now on her network, about, they were just talking about, they had a gentleman who was an attorney at Harvard, and he went into a country club, and he tried to get a job as a waiter, and they wouldn't allow him. They wanted him to do an experiment in racism. So he got a job as a busboy. This is just recently, not recently, this is 20 years ago. And he got the job, but he, you know, he's kind of infiltrating the country club in Connecticut to see what the real sentiments of the individuals were. And this guy's an attorney from Harvard, you know. Anyway, but one of the things that I think a lot of people, and I share this, and I want to see what, not you, not yourself, but just a lot, what the general consensus is of, let's say, the black community in a lot of areas is when people, it's a given that, you know, if you want to play the who threw the first stone, it was definitely the white race that threw the first stone many hundreds of years ago with regards to segregation and separatism and the whole nine yards. I mean, that's an obvious truism fact. But now that you got 150, 200 years underway, what I see a lot, especially in communities like in the South and places that are not metropolises like L.A. and New York or Chicago, and that is that the very monikers, the very titles and stereotypes that are being directed at the particular individuals, be it Hispanics or blacks or whatever, the people that are being accused of those things in 2013, they actually are fulfilling what they're being accused of. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, not in all circumstances, but they definitely are. A case in point would be, I think you come from South Central.
Tony, can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it a little bit shorter because time is limited. I want to address your comment, and I also want Gerald to. So just really summarize it for us so we can address it.
Okay, why do the black community or the Hispanic community actually adopt the very stereotypes that they're fighting so hard against?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they continue to embrace the stereotypes that they actually are fighting against?
Cool, good question. All right, Gerald, you switch phones and go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me now on this other phone?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, you're talking about a couple of things, and we're talking about a society and an institution of racism that has produced a particular kind of behavior. And I'm glad we're talking about this on the Martin Luther King holiday because King addresses it. And he talks about how the white race would suggest that the black race or that other minorities were holding them back a generation, or that if we do this too quickly, that we're not going to be able to do it. But what we have to look at is the fact of three things: ignorance, poverty, and disease breed crime no matter what the racial group may be. I'm going to say that again. Ignorance,
right,
poverty, and disease breed crime. And I'm going to just, from a metaphysical perspective, try and give you an understanding of why. When people begin to believe that they do not have enough, that their needs are not being met, the basic nature of humankind is to do, quote unquote, whatever is necessary to get mine. So what has to happen is the culture has to be changed so that we're not driven just to get mine. Because the moment we get out of that, then these other things begin to be dealt with. Now, I don't want to let everybody else off the hook because we're all responsible for the problems and the challenges that we face today. But we all have a role in playing in terms of solving these problems. That's one of the principles of Kwanzaa. It's the idea that I look at my sister's and my brother's problems, I make them my own, and we solve them together so that there is no separation. There is no distance between me and the individual who's living in poverty and the individual who's living in Beverly Hills, for example, with his nose sort of pouted up. So both things are true. One, when people don't feel like they have enough education, enough food, enough clothes, enough simple basic needs that are being met, they begin to engage in activity that is less than civil and humane. It's like they did an experiment with mice, and they put them into a box with limited resources and limited space. And these mice, who ordinarily, under basic conditions where there's enough food and enough space and enough of their needs are being met, they coexist and they cohabitate and they get along great. The moment you start removing the primary resources or depriving them of them in any way, they first begin to turn on one another because they can't see beyond the walls of the box that they're living in. So they engage in activities that are trying to deprive someone else of what they have so that they can get more of what they think they need. So we can't just look at the problem from the perspective of black folks or minorities are perpetuating this idea that whites are suggesting for us. We've got to look at both sides. One, we've got to change the mentality of those folks that are there and have them help to understand that their needs can be met without help from outside. And then two, the folks on the outside have to participate in the solution. Because if they continue as a media and a propagation suggesting that this is the way that people are, people who don't have the ability to define themselves will allow themselves to be defined by other people. So we have to empower those people so that they can begin to make decisions for themselves, because otherwise they become like robots. They believe the media and the hype. We have just as many...
Part of the problem...
Go ahead.
I know, you know, but see, you look at programming like BET Network. The very people in the media of color are propagating the very thing you're speaking against. I mean, that's interesting. You know, you speak very well. You're obviously very educated. I speak well. I'm relatively educated. Oprah Winfrey. And you know what we all have in common? We all talk the way this language is supposed to be spoken. I'm Hispanic. If I speak Spanish, it doesn't matter if I'm Japanese. I speak the language the way it's to be spoken. But so many African-Americans, it's like they adapt the blackness, if you will, of stereotype. Why? Just because they're black doesn't mean
they're not
talking
a certain way. The same is true for many whites. When we were growing up, our parents would say to us, you've got to learn to speak this language well because you've got to speak it better than your white counterpart in order to be able to get ahead, in order to be able to compete, in order to be able to get a job. Well, I was down in the Deep South, and I saw white instructors who had these deep Southern accents that are really the influence of this quote-unquote black language that we're describing. It's the perpetuation over generations of people who were originally African or Latin or Asian, who are then being taught the language that is quote-unquote English by people who don't speak the language well themselves. So I really don't think, and I have to say this, how well we quote-unquote talk is as important as how well we live, because we now know that some of these folks, some of these rappers who are moguls and millionaires, they haven't mastered, quote-unquote, the English language, but they've offered the gifts and talents that they have, and they've manipulated the system to their particular advantage. So I don't think the way we talk is as important as the way that we are, because over generations, I'll give you one example. My mom growing up used to say, I will tan your hide, or I will whip the black off of you. That comes from a slave mentality. Some slave master generations before her said that to her mom and her mom and her mom's mom, and it instilled fear in them, and they passed that on throughout generations, and they forgot where it came from. But we're in a generation now where we have reached the critical mass. We really have. And young people today growing up, if you go to some of the elementary schools, even in the inner city, you're going to find kids who are extremely, quote-unquote, articulate. And some of those are still winding up in trouble. So the way that we talk and the way that we present ourselves isn't as half as important as the way that we are. Hell, Bill Clinton had an Arkansas accident, and so did many of the politicians that we put in office across the country. They sound like Southerners, and sometimes they don't sound right. They ain't speaking the language the way the language was meant to be talked, but they're doing their job. And so we've got to get away from perception and deal with the reality and the bigger problem of these people who feel inadequate regardless of how they speak or talk. We've got to instill a new sense of pride and freedom and more than adequacy but brilliance in them. And then it doesn't matter how they talk. It matters how they live. It matters what they do with their lives. because some of them are going to be old and some of them aren't going to be able to master the English language. And we've accepted people who come here from other countries with an Italian accent or a French accent, and we think that's cute. We think that's a novelty somehow. And at some point, we're going to begin to appreciate those with Latino dialects from Mexico, or the same way we do with them when they're from Spain or Portugal. We think those are romantic languages, and then we hear somebody who's from Mexico, we want to say that that's somehow less a royal, but it's all the same stuff. But ultimately, it's our perspective, not their attitude, not their action. It's how we see them. And if we're saying that they're perpetuating the idea that people are describing about them, what would happen if we started describing them as full and complete human beings, regardless of their appearance? They might, I don't know, but they might start responding to that in the same way they do to some of these negative, quote-unquote, stereotypes. And I can't save the world, but I can affect the people that I come in contact with. And each of those, if each one, there's a ripple effect that I'm not telling you something I'm guessing about. I'm telling you something that I know. It will change the way that we live and the way that we are. We got to start right where we are.
Yes, and I really want to move on, Tony, but I really commend you for bringing this forward. But some people are thinking what you're saying, and I mean, Gerald has really laid it down. So many thoughts to go off for me, but what I would want to leave you with as well is when you were talking earlier, you said not all blacks, you said some. So what you're really talking about is not everybody. And your charge right now is to see the people that you may have looked down on and say, why can't it just change the way they talk, the way they act? Your charge right now, my brother, is to see the blacks, the Hispanics, the whites, the Mexicans, the Italians, no matter how they show up, to see them through the eyes of God. That is your charge.
Hear.
That is your charge, my brother. Rather than say, oh, my, they keep complaining, they keep reversing, you see them through the eyes of God, and then you see that they're simply an extension of you, no matter how they show up. All right, my brother, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Life is good. It's getting better. I want to deal with this thought. Yes, let's go to Rebecca real quick. Let's get to Rebecca. You listen to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We getting fired up at the end of the show. Rebecca, go for it real quick so we can wrap up this conversation, the show. Ooh, excitement.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well, I'm just so grateful for Gerald and for you and for Celeste. It just was the best thing. I could have woken up and gotten up because I saw myself I could feel myself going in a real melancholy way, and I'm in the same position that you were literally tuned in as soon as Gerald was saying, you may not have a regular job and a lot of people are unemployed, and but there's great opportunities this week and doing what I love. So it was just uplifting, and I wanted to say thank you. And I just have to continue to, I guess, stay focused on what the end result is, because who knows? I may be going out to Burbank. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. But we're submitting a bust, and hopefully Ellen DeGeneres asked for a bust, and she said no one sent one in. So I called my dad and said, Dad, you've got to make a bust in a day.
What is a bust? I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's the a sculpture of her head to basically the top of the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting.
So
okay.
Yes. So we're out of the blue that happened, and we're going to submit it because I've got to roll with the flow and just keep going forward and saying okay, it's going to be okay. And for some reason this popped up, so. We'll be submitting that. We'll probably be sending it out. Hopefully, we'll be putting it in the mail on Wednesday. I don't even know. Kind of freaked out about it, but.
I want to say this. As you move forward, don't lose track of the now. Don't lose track of what is happening right now. Because that's the thing I really want to. We're having some phone issues with Gerald, but he's going to be back on in a minute because I see him on the line. But, it's this idea of you have a vision for yourself. You have a vision for your life. And when you think of that vision, when you think of your life, it excites you. But sometimes the mind can play games, and you look at where you are and saying, but how come I'm not there? Why is this not working out? No, Martin Luther King Jr., I'm certain that he did not. I mean, he had the vision, but if somebody had asked him, do you think there'll ever be a black president? I think he would just say, I hope so. I would like to see it. We've heard people say, we never thought it was going to happen in my lifetime. So the key for you, the challenge for you, the task for you, my sister, is to hold the vision of your greater yet to be while you live in this moment and enjoy what is happening now, because everything that you're going through right now is moving you to the highest vision of yourself. So don't demonize whatever you're dealing with. Look to it as the answer. It is the answer to get you to where you want to go. It is the vehicle. So just hold the vision and give thanks that you are here. Give thanks that you have the vision. So don't judge your present by the vision you have in the future. Okay?
All right.
All right, my sister. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. I want to go to Gerald. Because I really want to talk about this. Okay, don't use that one. Let's use this. We're playing telephone. Musical chairs? Musical telephone. There you go.
Yes.
My brother.
I'm here,
okay.
If you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay, let's do this. Because Rebecca spoke to this. And I want to talk to you about freedom, but we have to do it another time. I think we need to bring you back before, you know, you have so much to offer. I was telling Celeste, I don't know, we may do a shorter show. I don't know what I was thinking. But so he's I forgot. That's all. I forgot. You know, I love what Tony brought to the table. And because for me, I really believe inspiration without action really doesn't mean much. We get inspired and we have to apply the action. So here's the question I want to ask you, you got like 5 minutes or so to kind of bring it together, is, as I was saying much earlier, that I was talking to a friend and I was saying, you know, I have a vision for myself that I'm surrendering to a place where I want to see myself, my gifts, I want to see it through the eyes of God. I want to see it. I want to see it not just based on what people are telling me about my work, about who I am. And as we kept talking, I was thinking, I don't know if we ever get to a place where we say, oh, my God, I see myself through the eyes of God. You shared earlier when you hear your bio, it makes you sort of think, oh, my God, that's me. There's something about our makeup that we have a vision. And when we're living out the vision for our lives, for ourselves, even while we're experiencing it, sometimes we don't quite see that we're there. Because I know you still have daily struggles. Can you just speak to that, how we can blend the struggles of today with the vision of tomorrow and still find peace now?
I have an analogy that's just come to me. Often we will, when we're younger in particular, we will imagine or envision a particular kind of car. I want a Mercedes, or I want a Mustang, or I want a convertible, so to speak. You know, I remember growing up, and I watched somebody in a little Mercedes that was a convertible, and I said, I want me a Mercedes. And it took several years. I set that intention into motion, and then I continued on with my work, with my life, and said, I have that desire. I put that out there in the universe. Now I must return to the work. And whether that happens or not is yet to be seen. But I remember after I had the Mercedes, I was sitting on the inside of the car, the way we're sitting on the inside of our life, driving, and I forgot. I forgot that was what I even wanted. Do you know what I mean? I'm inside the car, and I'm not looking at the car from the outside. I'm looking at it from the driver's seat. And I don't get a chance to step out and have perspective and say, I've achieved what it is that I said I wanted, because now that was only a means to an end. Now that I had that, that car was just to get me from point A to point B, and I don't have the same perspective that I once did because I'm living it, because I'm inside of it. But the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. So the idea is, if I'm seeking eternal and internal peace all the time, then all of the other things become accoutrement along the way, on my journey, on the road, that I'm picking up these gifts and these tools and these talents and these things that are going to be beneficial to me as I continue my journey. And I'm grateful for them because I set them in motion, I planted the seed, I set the intention, I asked for them, and then I return to the work. I say this to my assistant Samantha all the time. We've accomplished that. That sounds good. Now we must return to the work. Now we must get back to the work. Now we get back to prayer. We get back to meditation. We get back to focus. We get back to setting intention. We get back to helping people other than ourselves. Because once we've achieved these things, then we go, I got mine. I got what I asked for. Thank you, God. Now I want somebody else to get what they desire. Now I want for somebody else what I want for myself. And by doing that, then I get to see that Mercedes because the guy next to me is driving one, and I wanted him to have one, and it reminds me that that's what I wanted. Like, oh, yeah, that must be how I look. So I get to see my reflection in the achievement of other people's goals and dreams as well. But the key to me is to always return to center. Always return to the work, regardless of what it looks like. If it's good, if it's bad, if it's indifferent, if I've achieved the goal, if I'm not there, my job is to be involved in the work and creating a sense of heaven on earth and in my life. King says that in order to avoid external physical violence, we must avoid internal violence of spirit as well. That's where it begins. And when we have a peace of mind internally, it helps us to see with the perspective of the Creator. It helps us to have God vision and God eyes. When we're in conflict with ourselves and we're in turmoil, then that's the eyes through which we see the world, one of conflict and one of turmoil. If we are centered and set in peace internally, those are the eyes, that's the view, that's the vision we then have of the world around us, regardless of the quote-unquote circumstances. So in order to truly be free, you have to be spiritually free from your own conflict. And that, of course, is an ongoing struggle. We continue to have doubt and fear and worry and concerns. But here's, if I'm going to leave you with something, I know we're going to have to go soon. It's the idea that you look at the set of circumstances that you're in right now, which represent your coagulated thought forms that brought you to this place in your life. And then you recognize that that was the truth for me then, but it's not the truth for me now. Here's what's really important. You say, I don't believe that about myself. I don't want that about myself. I don't have that about myself right now. And then you have to replace it because the universe abhors a vacuum. So the moment you say, I used to be that way, but I'm not that way anymore, the next thing out of your mouth when you say, that part is not the truth for me, you've got to say, the truth for me is, and start speaking into your own reality, your own future, your own destiny. And then you're setting into motion the same way you set into motion the thoughts and words and actions and deeds that brought you to where you are now. Now you're setting into motion the thoughts, the words, the actions and deeds that will bring you to your greater yet to be. So now we're focusing on that part. We're saying that wasn't true for me. I accept that. I did those things. I forgive myself. I forgive those around me. Right now, that's not the truth for me. That's just an experience that I had. The truth for me is all there is God, and God is all there is. And if God is all there is, then there are infinite possibilities within that framework, within that mental gymnastics, if you will. And so my next set of exercises says, the truth for me is I'm having my beingness in a loving, creative, forgiving creator who is the divine intelligence responsible for it all. And if he's really got it all together, then I can say, Lord, what would you have me do next? And then he provides what I can only describe as divine, inspired, right action. And I'm going to say that again because for me, all those things have to be true. Divine, inspired, right action. You will be amazed at the way the thoughts, the ideas, the people, the contacts, the tools that you need fall into place when you respond. Because first it's divine because we know it all comes from God. And then it's inspired when that message moves from him to us. And then we know that it's right and we must take action, because when we don't, we stagnate the process. But when we do, yes, the next set of circumstances, the next set of questions, choices and action are orders, are steps are ordered by the law. And it's just like that analogy of Indiana Jones where he's got to take a step off and he can't see what's in front of him. But the moment he takes that step, the next step is provided for him, and the next step is provided for him. We have to continue to take a leap of faith over and over. As I teach kids, and I teach drumming, and I teach acting, and I teach public speaking, but as I teach kids, I tell them two things. One, trust yourself. And that's your highest self, and you know the difference. And two, take risks. Anybody who's ever done anything great, with two things were true. One, they took a risk, and three, they risked looking foolish to those around them. But in the end, they were genius. That's Edison, that's Einstein, that's King, that's Gandhi. At the time, they were taking a risk not knowing how this thing was going to turn out. And they ran the risk of looking foolish to the crowd. And in the end, they were genius. And we all have that.
And you, my brother, are a genius. So thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for your gifts. And hopefully, if you're available in March, we want to bring you back because there's so many things that I wanted to talk about that we didn't get to cover. And just thank you for the work you're doing. I'm going to bring Celeste on. She just want to say thank you to who you are. Celeste, you're live. And, let's go. Woo-wee, you very loud. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm loud. That's my energy. I just want to say thank you to Gerald Rivers. And I have a quick gift, a number gift for him. Because as he was listing everybody that he was describing as geniuses and taking risks, he is in full alignment with the energy of the day. I dedicate this to the magicians in the house, and that would be Gerald C. Rivers, the voice of Martin Luther King Jr. and Life Coach today. Okay?
Oh, Celeste. Wait, we haven't even done the voice of, oh, my
God. You know,
I know, but you know what, though? You did.
I in for you.
Hold on,
what'd
you say, Gerald?
I said I got 5 minutes and I think I can squeeze one in for you, but I want to be able to receive the gift from Celeste because I don't want to deprive her of the opportunity to give. Sometimes we do that. People want to be of service, and we go, no, I got something else. So I'm going to take a few more minutes and receive the gift from her in her fullness and not deprive her.
This is what we're going to do. Ooh. So this is what we're going to do, because there's always a way. So this, I was tripping for a minute. It's like, oh, my God. And okay, so this is what we're going to do, listeners. If you're listening online right now, call 347-426-3346. I give it to you slowly. 347-426-3346. Call in now. Don't call in later. If you want to hear Gerald do the voice of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So that means the show, if you listen online, is going to go over and you won't hear if you don't call in. 347-426-3346. But you can't call in, you can hear it in the archive. So Celeste, give the gift, and then Gerald will release us with the voice of the great one, Martin Luther King Jr. Go ahead, Celeste. Okay. Wow. What a show.
Good afternoon, family. Is Celeste Morgan here? I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is number one, the day of the eagle and the magician. We have inaugurated President Obama, and on the same day, we are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Remember, the energy of the day is your lesson card for the whole year if you happen to be celebrating a birthday. Let's unwrap the gifts of one, shall we? Our first chakra is our root chakra, and it is in this energy center that we have our security and groundedness. The first card in medicine cards is the eagle, and the eagle has the power of great spirit and a connection to the divine. People with eagle medicine live in the realm of spirit and yet still remain connected and balanced within the realm of the earth. The first letter of the alphabet is A, and words like able, abundant, and available reflect the powerful energy contained in the number one. The number one card in tarot is the Magician, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. I'd like to call this the Hero card. The Magician sits between the infinite possibilities of the Zero Fool and the quiet teachings of the two High Priestess. With the Fool and the High Priestess as neighbors, the Magician gets to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Now, we may not all have our capes on, but we have talents and treasures that belong to only us. The truest challenge in this moment is simply pushing that apply button. It could be as simple as your ability to shine and allow others to feel the warmth of the sun. It could be your gift of the gab, which has all of us tickled and smiling. You have a recipe for magic that you are not using. And what if you're holding back? It's keeping all of us starving. The Magician says it's time to do it your way with your own style. Paint the world with your unique colors. The Magician reminds that we have all the tools we need in life to do more than just survive. We use our gifts and talents to thrive. When the opportunity to use your best talents arises, your performance will seem like magic to those all around you. All is well. And that's the story of one through the Magician in tarot. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you for allowing me the gift of sharing my gift with you, Gerald.
Yes,
thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Now, let's pass it over. I almost forgot so many things we want to talk about. But anyway, let me throw it over to my brother now to bring in a lover of life, a lover of humanity, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Go ahead, Gerald. Over to you.
Okay, these are the words that come to me from Dr. King as a result of hearing Celeste and the idea of your splendor. So I know I got to go. This is a short one. It's simply entitled The Best.
New opportunities have opened within the last few months. This will be even greater. All over the United States and all over the world, doors have been opened that have been closed to the Negro in the past. The great challenge that we face is to be ready to enter these doors when they open. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Ralph Waldo Emerson said in a lecture back in 1871 that if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or beat a better mousetrap than his neighbor, even if he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. This will become increasingly true. That means we're going to have to work hard. Gonna have to burn the midnight oil sometimes. We're gonna have to take advantage of new opportunities, and we must set out to do our life's work so well that nobody could do it better. We must seek to do a good job. We must not seek merely to do a good Negro job. If you're setting out to be merely a good Negro doctor, a good Negro lawyer, a good Negro preacher, a good Negro teacher, a good Negro skilled laborer, a good Negro barber, a good Negro beautician, you have already flunked your matriculation exam for entrance into the University of Integration. We must get ready. We must set out to do a good job and to do that job so well that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it better. As I've said so often, if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo carved marble, sweep streets like Raphael painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music and like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. This is it. You can't be a pine on the top of the hill. Be a shrub in the valley, but be the best little shrub on the side of the rill. be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. You just be the best of whatever you are. God bless you.
My brother, thank you. Thank you for reminding us to be the best. Because we are the best. We just got to release it. I love you so much, Gerald. I love you. I'm so grateful for you. And I'm so grateful to be sharing
this
with you.
Whenever you get to the left coast, you holler
yes.
at me because I got a place for you.
And so it is. And so it is. I'm due a visit. I'm due a visit. I got to just come be with you, drum with you. And
yes,
thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings, my brother. Oh,
Happy
my God.
Day, bro. Thank you, too,
yes,
Celeste.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to Samantha, Gerald's assistant, who does such a wonderful job. Tony, Rebecca, Tam Tam, Donna, who else? Tanya, Zoe, Teresa, Truth Addicts, and everybody else that I miss out. Please, the silent listeners, this Geister's guest in the chat room, those of you who I don't recognize your phone number, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And I want to use, as I release the show, I want to use the gift, the perspective that Tony brought to the table. What in your life do you find that you're saying, why do they do that? Why can't they? Whatever it is that just, what's they say, get stuck in your claw? That just makes you want to know, maybe that's where your purpose is. Maybe that's where your greatness lies. Because each and every one of us, I do not care. That's right. I don't care what you believe in or don't believe in. You are here to bring the answer to that. Let the thing that challenges you the most help you bring out the best in you, because we're all here together. And once again, you know, if you have a health challenge and you need a organ donor, you don't ask if they're Muslim, if they're Christian, if they're Buddhist, if they're agnostic. You don't ask what's their education background. You just want an organ so you can live. What do you have to deliver? What is coming up for you? Don't use your truth to keep you in bondage. And I'm certain that when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was not just looking for people who were educated, who got their stuff together. He what inspired him more were people who were struggling, who were hungry to say, there's got to be a better way. So I want you, I'm asking you, tap into the King and the Queen and the Jesus and the Buddha in each and every one of yourselves, in each and every one of ourselves, should I say. We all have God in us. We are God in expression. And it's time for me to release the show. I am so on fire. It's time for me to go walk on water. Ooh, the fire and the water will turn to mist. And my God, talk about transformation. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for all of you. We've co-produced the show. We co-created it. And what you're leaving with is what you brought to the table. Gerald talked about life is forgiven indeed. You think of the word for, F-O-R-E, when you give of yourself before you get, when you give in advance, for meaning in front. What are you forgiven? When you forgive your brilliance, when you forgive your talent, when you forgive your love, when you forgive your compassion, oh my God, you will change your own life. You will continue to create visions. The vision that is bigger than you, that pulls you forward even while you're feeling pain. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Make sure you check out Gerald's website. His website address, once again, is Gerald, that's G-E-R-A-L-D, C, Rivers.com. See the letter C? Gerald C. Rivers with an S, .com. And I'll be back tomorrow hanging out with Swami Beyondananda, prescribing you, refilling your prescription for laughter and transformation and being able to move through all the foolishness of life and see the fullness of God in it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And allow yourself to be loved. Because you can't love others until you've mastered loving you. But it's an onward journey.
It's on and on and on, and you are here to love the less of us. Feed the hungry. Teach those who don't know how to tie the tie. Embrace a woman, a young girl, who's learning what it means to be a woman. I'm out of here. This is Bridget Bryant, Rolling River God. We're all a stone. We're a little bit rough. Just like Gerald said earlier, bear with us. Be patient. God ain't done with us yet. Be gentle with yourself. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
River God. Little stones are smooth. Only once the water passes through. And so I am a stone.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.